is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers. Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. And sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place. And Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. The Dave portion of the show, though, is not here yet. He's going to be a little bit late. Apparently, he's out visiting with some guy who has rocks in his head.
I got rocks in my head.
I got rocks Silverton. In my head in Silverton. So Dave's going to be running in a little bit late. In the meantime, I've got Hunter here keeping me company, running the board for me. Hunter, happy Wednesday to you.
And happy Wednesday to you.
It's good to see you. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, it was wonderful. We made the trip up to Seattle and saw family in a parade and Frozen 2 and the whole shebang.
You survived Frozen 2?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, good for you. I'm glad. I don't have any reason. No little kids, no little girls. Don't have to go there.
There you go.
All right, well, today we have a very special guest. We've got Mike White, who is new with the something called Launch Mid-Valley. Warren actually gave me a heads up on Mike. He is part of the Oregon Entrepreneur Network, and he, like I said, he is the new venture catalyst for Launch Mid-Valley. So, Mike White, welcome to Wednesdays with Denise on KYKN.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's really good to have you. So like I said, Warren kind of gave me a heads up. He's like, you need to talk to this guy. There's some exciting things that are happening in the Mid-Willamette Valley as far as for entrepreneurs. So before we go any further, I want to have you, let's get to know you a little bit, you know, where you come from, why you're here, and who Mike White is.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I'm no one special. I'm just another entrepreneur in the ecosystem here in the Mid-Valley, working on a couple startups myself with some other teammates and whatnot. But my role here has been to kind of start to build this entrepreneurial ecosystem to help connect entrepreneurs. Yeah.
Yeah. So a venture catalyst, because my brain kept wanting to go to venture capitalist. But so what is a venture catalyst?
All right. Yeah. So a venture catalyst is kind of like a community builder.
Okay.
Right. So I basically do economic development, but it's 100% focused on entrepreneurship.
Oh, okay.
So entrepreneurship is kind of like the extension of economic development where we, you know, try to catalyze and start new jobs, new businesses.
So is this Launch Mid-Valley is in cooperation with OEN? Is it part of OEN?
Okay, so Launch Mid-Valley Initiative, it's where basically these economic development leaders come together. So SEDCOR, City of Salem, McMinnville Economic Development Partnership, Small Business Development Center, some other game players in OEN all kind of came together and said, hey, you know what? We really want the Mid-Valley to be a vibrant entrepreneurial ecosystem. And how do we do that? Well, let's get a venture catalyst in the area to help stir some things up.
So you're the first. This is new. This is really kind of a pilot program right now.
No.
Oh, okay.
So the venture catalyst role was created, I want to say, a little bit over 10 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm actually, the eighth venture catalyst in the state of Oregon. The model's worked well. I mean, over the last, just the last 5 years, we've helped entrepreneurs get access to more than $50 million in capital.
Wow.
We've helped create more than 700 jobs, more than 500 startups. I mean, we've done some great work.
So obviously the mission of Launch Mid-Valley is to empower entrepreneurs. Are you finding that there is a real, you know, in the Mid-Willamette Valley, it's Salem, Kaiser, the other, you know, you said your partnerships with the cities and other SEDCOR. Is there a vibrant entrepreneur community here that you're finding that you can tap into and reach into assist and to help them just grow and be amazing?
Okay, so this is it. So this whole community building, this whole ecosystem building has actually been going on kind of all around the country. Economic developers, they're just like, hey, we have all these entrepreneurs in our ecosystem. What do we do with them?
Right.
Like, what do you do with entrepreneurs?
Is it like herding cats?
Right. So, I mean, the thing is that we are basically creating a way for entrepreneurs to connect to people, programs, and capital resources. We have a healthy amount of entrepreneurs spread all over the Mid-Valley, but it's kind of like, where are they? What do they want? And what are they working on?
Okay.
Right. And then, so how do we structure that so we can give them the resources that they need to catalyze more startups faster, create jobs faster, new revenues faster. Right. So as a catalyst, which would the name entails, is like, I'm just speeding up that process. by helping, basically helping create a support system.
Okay.
Where, because that's what entrepreneurs need. They need a support system, education.
So the very nature of an entrepreneur is someone who doesn't want the 9-to-5 gig, doesn't want the traditional, has a great idea perhaps, is someone who's looking to, I don't know, tell me who is there a typical entrepreneur? Maybe that's a better question. Is there a typical one?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. We can speak. I can do a 10-week course on entrepreneurship. So I mean, there's a spectrum of entrepreneurs, right? I mean, it all goes from low risk to high risk, right? And then you have individuals that are intrapreneurs. So entrepreneurs are huge. They are basically individuals that are self-starters. They'll get things done. They're visionaries. They can innovate and whatnot. But they usually typically don't have the risk factor to go and start their new business. They'll work inside a corporation.
Okay.
And they'll be like a product manager. They'll manage a certain startup or a new project for a company and take them that way. And you'll see a lot of these entrepreneurs, like true entrepreneurs, they'll be, middle market managers, right? And executives that are taken to the next level.
Okay. So somebody like that probably needs the security of that 9-to-5 environment, but maybe does have sort of the mindset and the creative spirit to want to step out. So that's somebody that you would help?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
You want to reach maybe perhaps?
Yeah, most definitely, because who knows, they might want to start their own business.
Yeah.
I mean, then you have the other entrepreneurs that are going to take the risk. They're going to start working on their side hustle while they're still working, right?
Yeah.
And eventually they want to step away and have their own product or service one day. Mm-hmm. And then you have, all the way to the extreme where you have someone like myself, I'll put together a business plan and idea and I'll be I'm just going to go do this and I'll put everything into that startup. Okay. And risk everything, right?
Are you a small subset of that? You're
a little bit of everything. Yeah.
A little bit of everything. Because I've known a lot of people who have had the side hustle thing going on and they're kind of working. You kind of balance both out until the tipping point. It's like, okay, I can safely leave this cushy 9-to-5 with a guaranteed salary and my benefits and health insurance and jump off the cliff a little bit.
Which I wouldn't recommend it.
You wouldn't recommend that?
No, don't do that. No. I would always say be very cautious, be conservative. Plan. I mean, the thing is entrepreneurs, one of the things that you need to do as an entrepreneur is at least fail once, and hopefully learn from that. But the thing also is that there's a myth out there that's basically says fail fast,
that's a myth
because it's like entrepreneurs, there's been a study that says that, entrepreneurs that fail most likely will fail again.
Mm-hmm.
And it all has to do with learning. So the learning course is it's hard because you have to adapt. You have to, learning takes time sometimes.
Yeah.
And then so if you go from one startup to another and you didn't learn from the first startup.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that.
And fail has sort of become a four-letter word where I know, we talk just getting into demographics and all kinds. A lot of parents don't want their children to fail, so you're kind of bubble wrapping everybody. But if you don't fail,
you got to learn.
Don't learn.
You do learn a lot from failing. Like, I've failed in business.
Yeah.
Like, I've started up a business and it had to be shut down, it was just unfortunate. I've lost money in business.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate. But at the same time, I've got a product to market. I've made revenues. I've made a bottom line that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done that. But that's great, and I learned from all of that and I'm still trying to strategize how to get better. But at the same time, I'm trying to help as an entrepreneur, as a venture catalyst. What we're here to talk about is, how can I take, everything that I've learned as an advisor, as a mentor, as a coach, as a leader, and help other entrepreneurs get to the next level and actually, create new revenues, create jobs and whatnot.
So you're really, you're coming in as a sort of a coach, a mentor, someone who's got the experience, who's been through it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, talk a little bit more about our Launch Mid Valley initiative.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is we're creating more events to get entrepreneurs out of the woodwork so we can engage them and see what they may need. Some of those things are like pub talks where it's a networking event that OEN usually does. So we're going to be doing them more here in the Mid Valley. We just did three of them in the last 3 months, two in Salem, one in McMinnville, and had a really good turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have guest speakers and talk about a certain subject or whatnot. But then it's also a networking activity. So people come and connect and we get to see what they need. Another thing that we're doing, in the Mid Valley is putting together a Mid Valley Angel Fund. Mm-hmm. Which is really cool. It's another resource that's going to be created here in the Mid-Valley underneath said core.
Okay.
Where we have different angels. And angels are individual. They're basically accredited investors.
Okay.
Angels came from actually Broadway. Like
the Great White Way?
Yes.
Broadway?
Right. So what happens is, like, back in the day, Broadway was doing plays and whatnot, and wealthier patrons were coming, and they were like, what do you mean you guys aren't going to have any more plays? Well, it costs money. We can't afford it. Well, they started providing some capital because they wanted the entertainment, and then they became angels.
And so then they're willing to front the money to make it succeed.
There we go.
Yes.
You know, so now we have more angel funds in, you know, the United States and kind of all over the world that kind of, you know, find startups at an earlier stage where it's harder to get access to capital and, you know, take the risk on them and help grow those businesses. Well, with our angel fund, we're looking more for...
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. What are you looking for that fund? The risk assessment, what goes into making someone who would be able to tap into the angel fund?
Yeah, you mean from an entrepreneurial standpoint?
Yeah, someone I have the money and I'm a patron and I want
to... Okay, you want to do that? So we're looking for individuals that care about the community.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for individuals that like to help out other people and see other people grow.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, want to take, you know, the dollars that they've earned hardly and mm-hmm. see a local startup succeed,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, help foster that growth.
That's interesting, because you're right, it is a two-way partnership, and you've got both pieces. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to dig a little bit more into that, because I also want to look at, as your investors, your venture capitalists, what they look for in something to invest in, how they assess the risk of investment. So we are going to come back. We are talking with Mike White from Launch Mid-Valley. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lindmonton Tractors Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. And in the studio with me today is Mike White, venture catalyst for Launch Mid-Valley, which is part of a Oregon Entrepreneur Network. And before we took our break, Mike, we were talking about sort of the partnership between the angel investors and the entrepreneurs.
Right.
But before we go into that, I know you had a couple of other items you wanted to mention, because we were talking networking and opportunities.
Yeah. So, I mean, going back to some of the activities that we're doing for the Launch Mid-Valley initiative, mm-hmm. is, you know, engaging the entrepreneurial ecosystem and seeing what entrepreneurs need. So some of the activities that we're going to be doing is like a startup boot camp. It's going to be a 3-day weekend intensive, basically boot camp for, you know, businesses that have been in business for a year or less, or new entrepreneurs that want to start a business and, you know, come for some teams, kind of figure out how to, like, start, get their business off the ground.
Okay.
So it's going to be an intensive boot camp. It's like going to be closer to like 40 hours through the weekend.
So you're going to be like a drill instructor?
Yeah, we're all drilling. Yeah, exactly, right? So then we're going to have mentors there as well, and business advisors to kind of help go through that process. So we're going to have some angel investors there.
Okay.
We'll have, you know, a good support system to get through that weekend. So we're going to do two of them this next year in 2021 in McMinnville, and then another one in Salem.
Okay.
We're also going to be doing some coffee club meetups.
Mm-hmm.
So where entrepreneurs can get together and just...
I want to make sure I want to link all that up in show notes too, because I think if people are interested, we can direct them over to you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We'll mention these again before we close out the hour today.
Right. And then some other workshops as well. So that's just kind of
some
activities. Yeah. I mean, we got to have, you know, some good ways for, you know, entrepreneurs connect and engage and learn and have a support system.
The term you used was bringing them out of the woodwork, which leads me to believe that they're hard to connect? Are they so busy focused on building their businesses that they don't take time to maybe look up for a second and realize that there are resources out there?
Okay, so think about it this way. So let's just look at Salem.
Okay.
So Salem's basically we're the state and where we have a lot of state workers,
yes,
right?
Yes, right.
So I don't know how many state workers are in Salem.
A lot.
So they're all sitting there working on their projects and whatnot.
Yeah.
Out of that population, there's around 1 to 1.5% of that population that are entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And they just haven't started on their project yet. right? And so they're sitting there with an idea and they're just like, how do I get connected if I want to start my idea, right? Yeah. Well, we want to plug them in, right? Because there's people that work for the state of Oregon that are, you know, they've been working there for 20 years, you know, they've accumulated a little bit of wealth through like maybe their pension or whatnot, right?
Yeah.
They've saved some money, maybe done paying off their mortgage. And now they're like ready to say, you know what? I don't want to work for the state anymore. I want to start my own business.
Yeah.
I want something new, something fresh.
And that would be, you know, you've been sort of in that environment of a state worker. It's a regular gig. It's a solid gig. There's not a lot of surprises in that.
Right.
Where you're stepping into a new role by wanting to do this, which kind of changes up everything.
Right. And so how do I get connected?
Yeah.
You know, where's the first step?
Yeah.
Right. So we're creating more resources for people to get plugged in. So coffee's in the morning. So maybe you can go there before, you know, you go to work, and then we have a networking event. Well, you're a busy family, you know, you got kids at home and whatnot. You don't have time. You got to go, you know, make food for them and whatnot. You don't have time to network. So
all that life stuff.
Yeah. You got life stuff. So we're going to give more options.
So that is, because you're right. We do have a large population of state government workers, city government workers here that might be doing that. So before we came back and we were talking about that partnership between, because you've got the entrepreneur taking that first step, you're providing, you know, avenues for them to learn about that. But the other side of that is the people who have the money, who are looking to invest. And so that's a partnership there.
Yeah.
So somebody who does have that money, we're talking about the angels, what do they look for and how do you connect them with the entrepreneurs?
Right. So, you know, early stage investors, which also are called angel investors and sometimes venture capitalists, they're looking for entrepreneurs that have, you know, a product or service that is competitive in the marketplace, maybe disruptive, can really have a difference in the world. They want to know that, you know, what revenues are they generating? You know, and what kind of market share are they going to take to generate more revenue, right? You know, they're looking for a team. You know, have you built a team? You know, because it's a lot easier to invest in a team than it is in an individual. And then has this team done something like this before? So you have a lot more confidence in a team that might have like a VP of sales of another big company and they're going to go start another company. Right. And they formed a team around that.
And there's a track record.
There's a track record. I mean, it just, it feels better that, you know, there's someone, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, obviously, have you done this before? You know, because sometimes you see a lot of serial entrepreneurs that have, you know, gone through different pitches and like they've, you know, they've done it before.
I you always think that you're looking for the next Jobs and Wozniak, right?
Yeah, right. There we go.
Yeah. I mean, how do you look at two guys in their garage and you're like, how do you make that assessment? I mean, it sounds like it's a little bit further down than two guys in their garage.
Yeah.
But is that?
I mean, I'm working in the field right now, working with entrepreneurs. I met with an entrepreneur yesterday that's, you know, he's working on, you know, a new medical device, right? And he's working, literally working out of his garage. And so, you know, he wants to take it to the next level. I mean, you get that.
Right. And it all has to start somewhere. And someone has to have put a little faith in you, have some belief in you. And so it sounds like you're connecting those people that might have that. So, you know, you talk about somebody who's in their garage working on a medical. We talked about Steve Jobs and Wozniak and, you know, Gates and all the other ones, the ones of lore that have come up that everyone's like, my gosh, I wish I'd invested in that stock way back in the
right,
day.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, what is there a typical entrepreneur or does it really run the gamut of age, of interests, of you know, sex, male, female? Can you break it down? Anything interesting? Any interesting trends you see?
The only real big trend that I've seen, and this is just historical data from the United States, from the Kauffman Foundation, that basically the growing population right now is ages, let's see here, 55 to 64 have increased since 2016.
We're all getting old.
So in 96, they had, you know, ages 55 to 64, they were part, you know, 15% of all entrepreneurs in the United States. Now, today, they're about 26%. So they've grown because it's an aging population, right?
Right, right.
So
exactly.
That's what goes into that.
And that you talked about, too. Talk about, you know, maybe your state worker or someone who's been in a private sector, 8-to-5 job, kind of has had that dream for a long time. Kind of that's been percolating in the back of their mind. And they may have, you know, some retirement. Are there any challenges specifically for, because I want to talk about younger entrepreneurs, too.
Yeah.
But older entrepreneurs, you know, I'm kind of in that bracket there, Generation Jones over here, you know, who it may be a little bit easier for them. The kids are grown. Are you seeing more people like that who want to kind of step out, jump off that diving board, take that risk?
Yeah, yes. Personally, I have. One of the challenges that they have is technology.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, right, yeah.
Technology is just changing so much, and how do they use new technology yeah. tools to help grow mm-hmm. their business versus like a younger entrepreneur would be like really tech savvy.
Yeah, who grew up with it, yeah.
And they're like, you know, on social media, and they can launch, you know, get a new customer database in a matter of a month versus you know, older entrepreneur that's still trying to figure out how to obtain their first client. It just depends on the industry as well, what kind of startup they're actually doing.
Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, the older population usually has
yeah.
Is that they have accumulated wealth over time.
Yeah.
And so they bring their wisdom, and they know how hard it is to earn a dollar. It's taken them a long time to earn, yeah. you know, to yeah. save money. So they're a little bit more conservative when they launch. There's a lot more thought put in, like they might have been thinking about it for 10 years, right? I mean, before they take that
yeah.
initial step.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, they bring a lot more wisdom to the marketplace, mm-hmm. right? And instead of doing a product, they might do more of like a service.
Okay. More of a consulting kind of?
More of a consulting yeah. or, you know, something that they know that they can do, right? It's they're putting, I mean, they're kind of, again, putting all their eggs in one basket. They work for 20 years, save yeah. money. Now they're going to do that again. Yeah. They're going to be conservative. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, it runs the gamut, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think, you know, risk aversion, as you get a little bit older, if you've got that nest egg, so to speak, you might be a little bit
less likely.
Like, yeah, exactly. Because you know what it, so you're coming from someone who's younger, who wants it. I have this great idea full of, I'm going to date vim and vigor, going to go out and sort of jump into this. That's a different mindset. Is that more of a risk-taking mindset where you're kind of at the beginning of it? So there are going to be more failures along the line for somebody like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hard one. I mean, again, it's just, it's kind of like all over the map.
Yeah.
Because you, sometimes you get people that exit after working for 20 years, but they were a middle market manager and they've yeah. made more money over time, right? And so maybe they might have, you know, a couple $100,000 to go start a new restaurant. And then, if it fails,
yeah.
they still have enough in their nest egg, right?
Yeah.
Which is one of those.
Yeah. That's interesting. Restaurants are just dicey. Restaurants seems to be one of the most high-risk startups.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. It's the most failed business in the industry. But then you have younger entrepreneurs. They can fail 5 times. Right.
Yeah.
And be fine. And then they can go get a job for the next 20 years and be just fine. Right. I mean,
yeah, but
you see that all the time.
I do. And you know, 55, 60 years old, you don't have that much of a runway left anymore.
Right.
So.
Yeah. This
but,
is
But, you know, that's another one. There's passion behind that. Someone who's starting up a restaurant has, you know, tons and tons of passion for that. I think we're going to take a quick break. And Dave is in the house. So we're going to get Dave on here. But you have been listening. We're talking to Mike White, talking about venture capitalist. He's a venture catalyst, all kinds of things entrepreneurial. So be sure to come back on the other side of the break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers. Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. And sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place. And Kennedy Tax Solutions. In the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. And I'm back in the house.
Dave is in the house.
In the house.
Happy Wednesday to you.
Happy Wednesday to you. Always good to see you on these
you
Wednesdays.
You too.
I love Mike Wednesdays again. And I know when I come, we find out on the break that you two are old friends.
Oh, yeah.
Here I'm like introducing you, and we know. We go way back.
Right.
You have a barbecue sauce connection, so
that's right.
That's
well,
cool.
And food.
And yeah. food.
The food fest.
Food makes the best bonds. I mean, you bond over food, you're bonded for life.
Yeah, this is like, oh, wow, this is great stuff. Makes everything better.
So I'm sure you were listening on your way over here. We've been talking all things entrepreneurship, business, what Mike is doing with Mid-Valley Launch. So, you know, Mike, before we took our break, we were talking about sort of the challenges older and younger. But then it got me kind of thinking, what are some of the businesses that people in the Mid-Valley are starting up? And you know, who have you had relationships with and been working with?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's all over the map again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, you know, startups from launching a product, launching a service to, you know, having a product and a service, mm-hmm. you know, from restaurants starting up. We know that, you know, new breweries, new wine companies,
yeah.
You know,
the medical device,
medical devices. Yeah. I mean, you have everything. So, I mean, I've worked with, you know, financial services, people starting up entertainment companies, doing consulting. There's some ag tech startups. You know, food and beverage is a huge industry here. You know, some healthcare startups, manufacturing startups, you know, people starting up, you know, tech in general. We have a lot more tech startups than people may think.
Really?
Right. I mean, yeah, they just haven't been nationally successful yet. But I mean, it's an ecosystem, the own tech ecosystem. There's something going on here.
Well, because for a long time, I mean, we had a lot of tech, a lot of high-tech silicon manufacturers back in the day. Siltec, Mitsubishi Silicon, America, Panasonic, which are all now sadly gone, you know, coming for the purity of the water. There's all kinds of draws that bring people here, but these are homegrown.
And so the thing is this whole ecosystem building has everything to do with fostering a support system for all these different industries in their startup phase and making sure that they get all the connections they need to be successful and help them get to the next stage. So I look forward to, you know, some of these food and beverage companies to really start being traded on a national and global standpoint along with these tech companies, you know, going global. That'd be awesome.
Wow. So I would imagine, I mean, we talked earlier too, you've got a lot of partners. As far as, you know, you work with in the cities, within the municipal government structure, you talked about SEDCOR, I'm assuming chambers of commerce, that there's some strong partnerships there.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's kind of what is all started. We know that entrepreneurship is one of the backbones of the America economy, right?
It creates the small businesses, right, which are the backbone. Yeah.
And which, you know, employs more Americans than any other big corporation put together. Right.
Yeah.
So, so again, you know, SEDCOR, City of Salem, McMinnville Economic Development Partnership, you know, Small Business Development Center, and OEN and some other players, you know, come together and really start this initiative of how can we be more intentional to engage our entrepreneurial ecosystem and build it and give them the resources that they need to be successful, which again creates jobs, it creates new revenues, right? I mean, it's an economic effect.
Yeah. So having thriving businesses helps the community. And so are you seeing, you know, with the businesses that are starting up, are there some success stories you can talk about?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's companies here that have started a nutritional bar and they're now traded on a, you know, national standpoint, you know, and they're, you know, raising money and they're expanding. You know, there's other small food and beverage companies that have, you know, gotten into, you know, Fred Meyer's, and which, you know, they have 138 stores, you know, they've gone into Whole Foods, they're growing. You know, there's tech companies that are being started that, you know, they're starting to get more customers outside the state of Oregon, you know, onto their platform and whatnot. And there's just new revenues. I mean, there are some really good things going on. And, you know, restaurants, I mean, the restaurants are, you know, starting to stay open and people, you know, the population is growing in Salem, right? So consumers want something, you know, and so restaurants are having a better survival rate than they did just 5 years ago, just in the city of Salem,
That's
I would
very
say.
True. Right? And the sort of the eclectic nature of the restaurants that are opening up. I mean, the dining scene in Salem has come a long way, like you said, in just the past 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. So, you have to, you know, thriving businesses create thriving communities. I mean, it's sort of everything. I don't want to use the word trickle down, but for lack of a better term, everything kind of, you know, everyone, you know, benefits when a business succeeds. It's got outreaching tentacles that touch a lot in the community.
Right. Very good. Yeah. So, I mean, some of the things that go into building a thrive, you know, a really good ecosystem for entrepreneurs. So a few things. So, you know, economic leaders come together, they say, and they put together an initiative. So that's what Launch Mid Valley is all about. Yeah. Economic leaders came together and they put together an initiative. You know, you get universities on board. So leaders in universities want to adopt it. Then you have business owners and entrepreneurs that say, hey, I want to be engaged in this. How can I help? And then out of these business owners and out of these entrepreneurs, you'll get investors. Right. Investors want to be part of the ecosystem and contribute to the economy, local economy. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have mentors out of there as well, where they want to coach and just mentor and just help out any way, shape or form. Right. And then through that, you know, you are basically building this vibrant ecosystem where the rate of new entrepreneurs are increasing because there's more collaboration going on. People are networking, people are building teams. They're noticing that there's more access to capital. Maybe I should get a startup off the ground that's a little bit more capital intensive. you know, the entrepreneurs start to see this, the support system. They start to get plugged into where they can get more education on where to, you know, start up through workshops, whether they're getting plugged in at the Small Business Development Center, or just come into pub talks and seeing where's the next resources to get my businesses off the ground. And then again, goes right back to this vibrant ecosystem where now you start to see, like, out of 100 startups, there's going to be that one startup that does $100 million in revenue and has 100 employees, right? So that's what we're looking for. And then there's going to be, you know, a bunch of smaller startups that are doing really decent revenues and they're employing people and they're just part of our economy, our growing economy. And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And we want to foster that.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's already going on now. I mean, you know, it's happening. It's just now it's just we're trying to make it more structured and be a little bit more intentional of like, hey, let's catalyze this. Let's do it now.
Yeah. Right? I like that. And then the networking opportunities too that that you're putting out there. You know, one thought just came to my mind. I'm younger students. The Salem Kaiser has CTEC, which is looking, it's kind of like that just going to college track. You've got a lot of kids that may be coming out of high school, 17, 18, 19 years old, that may very well have some kind of a dream like that. Is there an outreach to that younger demo right there, which isn't necessarily, you know, you're over 21, to sort of put that inspiration into them that that is a valid career path to be an entrepreneurial individual?
So once you're 18 years old and you're done with high school, you fit into our category.
Okay.
It's like either you're going to start up something or not, and you're going to go and start getting plugged in or not. As far as, you know, other like CTEC and other nonprofits that might go and coach entrepreneurship, that's one of the things that I've actually done. One of my first one of my first ventures is actually a nonprofit where we reach out to high school students and, you know, coach them on the area of entrepreneurship, leadership, and just overall just career development before they go into college, which is a much needed segue is entrepreneurship. We need more entrepreneurship in education, I would say, than anything else. I mean, I pose that, you know, there are some early indicators of early builders, you know, AKA entrepreneurs, from high school to college, and they just need to be vetted and they just need to learn at a young age that this is who they are. And that's one of the hardest things about going through adolescence is in life in general, you know, what were you created for? Why are you here? And one of the hardest things in life is taking why you were created and what's your why in the life that you have now and putting it to something that you're doing that actually brings money to the table for you and your family, right? It's one of the hardest challenges, and there's a lot of unhappiness that goes there.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And that kind of pushes people to entrepreneurship. It's like, I was designed to do something. And there's two ways of starting a business. One of the ways is through passion. Say that, hey, I'm passionate about this. I want to start this. And the other way is an opportunist. So you see that there's no bakery down the street and you go start a bakery. There, you know, there's no bike shop in town. You go start a bike shop.
Filling
right?
a need.
Just filling a need, right? And so that's kind of two ways of kind of getting out there and starting a business.
I like that. And then as far as identifying, because I know I remember being in high school and not really knowing what I want to do. And if there's adults that are pushing you in one way, to be open to that and to have that, to be able to identify the person who has that spirit, I think is so important. So I'm glad to hear that there is some work being done on that. Okay, we're going to take our last break here and we're going to come back and finish up with Mike. You are listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile. I'm sorry, Sylvan Learning Center and Color Tile.
And I'm Color saying. Tile.
Yeah. Get them both in there. Why not?
Why not? Why not? It's Wednesday. And welcome back, everybody, to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. We've been having a really great, fascinating conversation with Mike White, venture catalyst for Mid-Willamette Valley Launch. Mike, before we went on our break, we were talking about, you know, some of the stuff, the partnerships, the coaching, the opportunities. You yourself, though, are an entrepreneur.
I am.
So you know what you're talking about. You literally walk the walk.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things I remember, the first business plan I wrote, I was a sophomore in college, and the business plan was on starting my own pharmacy.
Wow.
And it took me a whole year to write. And after I got done writing it, I was like, I'm not doing this. This took too long. You know, after doing an analysis of the market, it cost too much to start up, you know, and sourcing everything.
What
and
an interesting thing, I mean, a sophomore in college to decide to do a pharmacy. I'm going to do a
pharmacy. Why not? Like, it was just fun. And then, so I learned a lot from that. And then I got more interested in business. And, you know, growing up, I put myself into, like, I was the dude that probably sold stuff out of his trunk for stuff, you know, and we can go more into detail off the radio. But anyways,
Nike started that way.
There we go.
Well, how many bands sell their own CDs out of the trunk?
That's true too.
Yeah. So, I mean, my last startup that I did, I was selling barbecue sauce out of my car and at farmer's markets, and now it's at the grocery store. But
That's cool.
So some of my early startups were, you know, I needed to learn more in business and, you know, led me to get my master's in business. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I started doing small business advising at the Small Business Development Center here at Chemeketa.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then taught business at Chemeketa Community College as well. So during the whole time, you know, I worked on some startups. And one of my first startups was my nonprofit working with high school students, the area of career planning, leadership, and entrepreneurship, right?
Yep.
Because there's a huge gap in the market of, you know, why are all these high school students going to college and they don't know what they want to do, and then they switch up their major like five times and spend more money and more time in college, and now they're in debt.
Yes.
And it's like, we should understand more about these young adults before they make that career change, and it's a financial burden on them. Other than that, I wanted to address that problem, so I work on that. And then my first startup after, you know, business school, I collaborated with a partner of mine, and we worked on an injury prevention startup, whatnot. We're pitching to a 500, you know, Fortune 500 company for our first contract. Well, I spent a year on that, and it failed. It just went down, and it didn't work. You know, it didn't work. In the meantime, I was, you know, working on my own barbecue sauce, and it happened to do really well. And so now we're, you know, being traded. We have a distributor. We're slowly getting picked up by different stores and whatnot. And then I have a short list of other, you know, projects that I want to work on, but, you know, I don't either have the capital, the time, or the resources to make it happen. So it's on the end of the list versus at the top of the list. I'm looking more for like teams. I don't have time. That's my limiting factor.
Yeah, right.
So I'm looking for other teammates to collaborate and get businesses off the ground. So one of the ones that I'm doing, I'm working on a tech startup right now, and I have, you know, four other teammates, and we're collaborating to get some things off the ground doing that. Another fun project that I'll just throw out there that I haven't really told anybody about. Is that I collaborated with some college students that, you know, they're in media production and whatnot. And so we're filming Pitmasters as they compete for cash prizes with their family and friends and whatnot. You know, there's beer drinking, there's, you know, barbecue, there's competition, there's turn-ins. There's a lot of culture around that. And America is very thirsty for that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's some other barbecue shows that are similar, and they're getting really good reviews and whatnot, but there's a need for more. And so we're actually putting together our first pilot season. We already have it filmed, and we're just editing it right now. And we're going to, you know, propose that to the Discovery Networks. We're going to try to, you know, put it on Amazon Prime and kind of in our local ecosystem and kind of like push it out there and get feedback and see if people like it. And if they don't, then they don't, we're done. But if they like it, then like, hey, let's maybe do a whole season. I don't know.
How do you find the time?
I don't. So that's the thing. It has everything to do with team building and assigning roles and trying to strategize to get a business off the ground with the resources that you do have. So you have to go find, I mean, team is huge.
Yeah.
If you can, cause the thing, I can't start a business by myself right now. Like I don't have enough time or the resources to do it, versus if I can go find three other people to go work on the next ice cream launch. Like maybe one of them has, you know, 80 hours a week, and maybe I can give them a little bit of money and someone else can help them with logistics or something, like, and you build a team around that, and then you can get something off the ground.
I have a trust factor with that.
Yeah.
Well, so I think,
being
able to identify key people and what are the traits in someone that's going to help you build a successful team.
Right.
Right. So that's one of the things that, you know, business schools are really big on is like helping you identify who you are as an entrepreneur or an employee or an entrepreneur, and then how much value do you bring on a team, and what's your role, and like identifying that in others.
I think that's important too, because I think you have some people who have the dream, have the passion. They don't necessarily maybe have the mental, you know, I don't know, it's a hard work. Let's put it that way. It's hard work, and you really need to invest virtually everything in it. And maybe you just don't have, and you also need to find that out, and maybe better to find that out early on in the process than later in the process.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe you do. You're not cut out for that. Not everybody is. There True, are some people right. who, you know, an 8-to-5 solid job is exactly what they want, and they don't have the sort of the fire in their belly to go out there and launch something like that.
Right, and then you have a lot of innovators too
yeah.
that aren't entrepreneurs. So that's really big to really talk about.
Yeah,
because there's a big push for innovation right now,
yes.
and people need to understand that innovation really doesn't create value.
Okay,
that's a hard concept.
What?
Because yeah. the thing is that entrepreneurship is the one that creates value.
Yes.
Okay, so you have a lot of people that invent a lot of cool stuff, mm-hmm. but there's no product market fit.
Mm-hmm.
You can invent something really cool. This is awesome. And you go down the street and you say, look at what I killed. They're saying, oh, that's cool. But what am I going to use? Like, why would I use that?
True.
You know, why would I pay for that? You know, there's no value.
And that's
right.
finding the need in the marketplace to serve the needs of somebody.
Here goes another example. So like Henry Ford.
Yeah.
He didn't invent cars.
No, he did not.
Right. He found where cars needed to be sold, and that's in the middle class. And so that's where he was an entrepreneur, and he created value for
a way to create the vehicle yeah. at a reasonable price.
Exactly. There you yeah. go.
And filling that need.
And then you look at Mark Zuckerberg that started Facebook. I mean, you know, he started a platform where you can basically give feedback to if someone's hot or not, or like
right.
give feedback on individuals, and it blew up in colleges, and now you have Facebook, right? So he created value on accident. I mean,
yeah.
he didn't start off Facebook saying that it was going to be Facebook.
True.
It was innovation. It happened to go that way, and it actually disrupted a market. So, I mean, innovation as a whole, we need innovators. Like, we always need innovators,
right.
but innovators doesn't need to increase. Like, we just need to stay constant with innovation. We need more entrepreneurs than we need anything. And,
so,
that, and those are people that can sell a product.
And that's the partnership right there.
Create value. So, innovation and entrepreneurship, that equals jobs.
Because I could have the best idea in the world, and if I can't sell it,
you can't sell
it dies. It goes
dies,
nowhere.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, but yeah. like... what are you going to do with it?
I think about that. I mean, personally, you know, you could be the best, you know, I could create the most beautiful something in the world. If I can't get it out there and sell it to people, big
right.
deal, Denise,
yeah.
big deal.
And I do work with inventors now that, you know, they have a product that they've, you know, patented, but like there's no value. There's no one's going to buy it. No one's going to use it. It was something that they created, what they thought was cool.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ah, dang it. You should have came and talked to me 5 years ago.
Right.
Oh, because,
but then you have this self-driving stuff. I mean, that was created way long ago. Who thought it would be in cars and trucks
I'm
now?
Still
exactly.
waiting for flying cars. Come on now.
We were told
we were going to have flight. Didn't Blade Runner? Blade Runner just hit this year where Blade Runner came true. So
right, there you go. And then that goes into another discussion about the window of opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Right?
You know, starting a restaurant in downtown Salem 5 years ago, that was shaky waters versus starting a restaurant in downtown Salem today. It's a different story. So it was a window of opportunity thing where... you know, now is the time to maybe launch that venture.
So anybody who's got any inclination, any interest in this, any curiosity about that really needs to reach out to you guys. So where's your website? Where can people go if they want to learn more about what
right,
you're doing?
Right, launchmidvalley.org is a great resource. You can always walk into your local economic development division.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be the city of Salem, the city of Dallas, Small Business Development Center, McMinnville Economic Development Partnership in McMinnville. I mean, there's just a lot of places you can plug in.
Okay.
You need the if you need to have questions, you need to get out and just go ask.
Yeah, that's the thing. Get out and ask.
Get out and ask and
yeah.
get plugged in, because we're creating more networks.
Cool. Okay, this has been a great conversation. I'm sorry it's over. Well, we'll link all this up in show notes. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah,
thanks,
thank
Mike
you.
White.
Appreciate it. Good luck, everyone.
Hey, Mike, it was great seeing
you
again.
Yeah, thanks so much.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.